begun last Sunday, just a short series called Just Thanks. Just as simple as that, reminding us to be thankful, to realize the many, many reasons that each of us have in our lives to be grateful. It's such an important subject, because as I taught last week, we have so many reasons to be thankful, and sometimes our lives get so overwhelmed and our perspective gets incredibly clouded with the challenges that we're facing and the difficulties that we have going on in our lives. But this Thanksgiving season, as we launch into really the holiday season, we go from Thanksgiving right into Christmas. How many already have your Christmas tree up in your house? Anyone backslid in the room? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look, all of you folk in here, y'all just have put the Christmas up already. Fantastic, fantastic. Invite me over. Would you do that? It's exciting, though, as we go into this season, and really it all has blended together. I mean, it's like y'all have got your Christmas trees up on Halloween, and it's all just, we just got one continuous holiday season. But it's important because it provides the perfect opportunity for us to have a fresh attitude of gratefulness. So last Sunday, we made a case for thanks. We want to make thanks great again. And we talked about how to do that. Number one, we need to know that every good thing comes from God. And number two, we need to make sure that we're not allowing what we want to rob us of what we have. And then we want to make sure that we are turning every blessing into praise. Last Sunday, I read briefly this story out of Luke 17, and I told you I would be back in this story this week and break that down a little bit so that you can see that unique gospel story come alive. And so go with me to Luke 17 today if you have your Bible or your phone or tablet, or if you want to follow along on the screen. We'll be right in Luke 17 and these few verses beginning at verse 12. For our message today. And verse 12, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, I want to make sure that you see this scene today. I want to make sure that you know exactly what is happening here and exactly what this looks like. So if you need to close your eyes for a moment and allow me to set this scene for you, take you on a journey today, I think this is going to prove very valuable to you, because these are grown men, 10 of them, who cannot be who they want to be or who they need to be. Because of this disease, this curse of leprosy, they have been banished. They've been put into a certain part of town, a leper colony. Everyone knows that you stay away from this part of town. It's not like it's the crime-ridden side of town. It's not like it's the street you just don't drive down after dark. No, this is the street that if you get on this street, you will come home with a disease. You will come home with this leprosy. And so no one wants anything to do with leprosy. In fact, Leviticus 13 sort of describes what the leper would look like, what they would have to deal with. They would wear these torn clothes. It wasn't, you know, you get leprosy, you go find torn clothes. We're wearing ripped jeans nowadays. It's not like that kind, it's not like it was a fashion deal. It was just, these are people, they cannot work for a living, and so they have very little. They cannot even make way for their own existence, so they're just picking up the rags that they can pick up, and they don't look very good. They they have to cover their lower face, trying to make sure that they're not spreading any germs. And if anyone gets near them, by law, they have to announce that they are unclean. Imagine if someone is coming near to you today in the parking lot. You don't get to say, "Hey, my name is John. Hey, I'm Roy. Hey there, I'm Bob." No, you have to say, "Hey, I'm unclean. Don't get near me. Don't come any closer to me. I know you want to give me a hug. I know you want to say hello to me. I know you'd like to shake my hand like gentlemen do, but don't get anywhere near me because I am unclean. You can't get close to me." And worse than that, these people have a disease that is eating away at their flesh. I don't want to be too graphic today, but they literally have these oozing sores, and they may wake up from their night's fitful bit of sleep and they are missing a part of their body, because that's what leprosy does. It might take your finger, and they wake up and there's their hand and there's a finger no longer connected. And so every single day they were changed in some way. A part of them died, and daily it was buried. They would take that part of their body that they lost, and they would dig a hole. They would bury that. They didn't want anyone to come in contact with it. Imagine living your life in such a way that every single day a part of you was buried fresh and new. It's been years since they have been touched. It's been years since they have been hugged. They are literally outcasts. They're outcasts from the temple. They have nowhere that they can worship. They are outcasts from their families. I'm sure the married lepers probably had a long distance relationship. Their wife would stand 50 or so feet away, and they might talk about how the kids were doing, and they would try to talk about the business of life, and I'm sure he was trying to be a good father, and you know, 50 feet away. "Listen, son, let me tell you something from 50 feet away." You know, he's probably doing the very best that he can, but literally they are living as outcasts from their families. They have no communication with the public. They have no hope for tomorrow. They have nothing to look forward to. They come out at night and scrap their way through the garbage heaps looking for food. They're sequestered in these particular colonies. The visitors are forbidden to enter their lives. And when a leper died, people could not even attend their funeral. Just another leper would have to perform their funeral. And I hope you can see the scene today. It's somewhat graphic. I know it's challenging. I know, but that scene is what makes the story even more powerful. Because the Bible tells us that they hear Jesus is coming. Verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I could travel back into time and watch from 50 yards away to see how all of this unfolds. I would imagine that all 10 of these leprous men, they've probably become very adept at eavesdropping. They probably can hear people talking on the main road. They're dying for interaction. They're wanting any bit of news that they can get. Maybe they hear the traffic of people coming. Maybe they hear the crowd a little more animated. animated than they normally are. They overhear someone saying, "He's coming, he's coming." And they're wondering among themselves, "Who is coming? Have you heard anything? Did anybody say anything to you? Hey, your wife was over there across the street talking. Did she say anything? What is going on? Can you tell me what it is?" And they don't know what it is. And finally, they get another bit of information. It's Jesus of Nazareth that is coming. Who is Jesus? Does anybody know Jesus? "Well, I heard someone say that he's a healer. I heard someone say that he does these miracles." But there's others that are saying it's all a bunch of fakery, and they believe that he is mocking the one true Messiah. They don't know, but they hear that Jesus is coming. Do you know the Bible says that faith comes by hearing? Hearing. You may not even know what it is you're hearing. You may not even understand perfectly what it is that you heard. But the Bible says that faith begins by hearing. This may be your first time in the house of the Lord. Maybe your first time in the presence of God as you feel it right now. And you're saying, "I don't even know if I understand what it is that I'm hearing." But I promise you that faith is being born in your heart. Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. We don't know what it is the lepers heard about why Jesus was coming, but they knew this, they had to go and see him. Whatever we do, we can't sit here. Whatever we do, we cannot remain stuck in our circumstance. And better yet, what do we have to lose anyway? I mean, we might as well go and find out what this is all about. Maybe they overheard someone saying that Jesus touches the untouchable, or maybe they heard someone say that he is no respecter of persons, and they look at their own situation and they say, "You know what? We're probably not very desirable. We don't look as though we are very lovable, but we are going to see Jesus." You know what? They did not consider their condition. They didn't worry about their appearance. They just ran to where Jesus was. I need someone to hear me on this Thanksgiving Sunday today. I need someone to hear me, someone who has a need in your life. Your need may not look anything like leprosy. You may not be 50 feet away from all the people that matter in your life. But hear me, if Jesus is anywhere near to where you are, if Jesus is coming anywhere close to where you are, you don't need to worry about anything else. You don't need to worry about anyone else. You just need to get into the presence of the Lord, because the answer that you seek, the outcome that you desire, it is in the presence of Jesus. And if anything good is going to happen in your life or my life, it's going to be because Jesus does it for me. These are men who have lived with no hope for too long. And they come crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Verse 14 said that when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." I feel like taking my time today, but I don't have time. I want to work this out today, because there's something so meaningful in that verse to me. The Bible said that he saw them. These are men who are outcast. These are men who have been left. These are men who have been abandoned. These are men who have been banished. But the Bible says that he saw them. Who am I talking to on this Sunday morning that feels so alone? Who am I talking to today who feels so outcasted, so banished from all of the things that you love and the people that really matter to you? Can I tell you that Jesus knows right where you are. You may be in this auditorium today with hundreds of other people and you feel so alone, but I'm here to tell you that you are not alone today, because Jesus knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows the weight that you are carrying. He knows the burden that you are under. He knows the addiction that you are suffering from. He knows what you are dealing with. He saw them. And when he saw them, he said, I got one instruction for you. I want you to go and show yourselves to the priest. That's the current word. That's the now word. I would imagine there were lepers looking at one another saying, what? I mean, we risked all. We risked life and limb, literally. And this is what we're supposed to do. We finally got into the presence of this one who they say is a miracle worker. And the only thing he's told us to do is to go and show ourselves to the priest. That's my current word. That's my rhema word. That's my now word. Go show yourselves to the priest. There's a reason that Jesus didn't say go see the doctor. There's a reason that Jesus didn't say go and visit a grief counselor. There's a reason he didn't say go find a 10-step program and see if you can get clean. He said, no, I want you to go show yourselves to the priest, because you have reached a place in your life that neither doctor nor counselor can help you. What you need is to go to the house of the Lord. You need to hear the word of the Lord, and you need to get spiritual help in your life. I'm telling you, it is the best counsel that I can give you. I have the opportunity to counsel all the time, have the opportunity to coach and mentor all the time. It is the best advice I've ever given. It's the best advice I'll ever have to give. The best thing you can do is get into the presence of the Lord. But wait a minute, you don't realize how complex No, I do realize how complex. It's because of how complex your situation is that the best thing I can do is get to church. Why would I stay home? Why would I pull the covers over my head on Sunday morning? No, let me get into the presence of the Lord. Let me get into the house of God where I can lift up my hands and open up my mouth and say, Jesus, I need you to have mercy in my life. I believe everyone in Newton County ought to go to church somewhere. I believe everyone in Rockdale County ought to go to church somewhere. Walton County ought to go to church somewhere. Everybody ought to be in church. Everybody ought to be pursuing and reaching for the things of God. Go show yourselves unto the priest. That's what you got to do. And it's of note today, and it's an important note, that the only one who could declare them clean by law, the only one who could declare them clean was the priest. Jesus knows what he's doing. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever doubt it. He knows what he's doing. I could send you to the doctor, but the doctor would say, look, looks better to me, but I by law, I'm not the one who can tell you. You can go back to your house so that you can go back to work. You've got to go to the priest. So Jesus said, I heard your cry for mercy. I'm going to tell you to go to church. I'm going to tell you to go to the house of God. I'm going to tell you to go to where the priest is. Now, it wasn't a wasted instruction or a wild goose chase. Sometimes we think the thing that he tells us to do is crazy. there is a method to what you and I call the madness. And the Bible said that it came to pass that as they went. Oh, I wish I had some help in here this morning. As they went, they were cleansed. The Bible said as they, here's the key, it was as they went. It was while they put one foot in front of the other. Wait a minute. Is my situation resolved? No. Is my problem fixed? No. Is my question answered? No. But as they went. See, some of you just haven't been wenting far enough. Some of you haven't been walking long enough. You're frustrated because things aren't turning and things aren't straightening out. But if you'll just keep going, if you'll just keep going, if you'll keep taking one step, if you'll just keep coming another Sunday, if you'll just go to one more small group, I'm telling you, the Lord is already at work in your life. He's already moving in your life. He's already turning things in your life. As they went, they were cleansed. Yeah, them Baptists weren't scared during worship, but they nervous now. Too late, I'm on fire, so I'm going to go ahead and burn. As they went. I don't understand why he told me to do this, but I'm going to go. I'm going to walk. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'm going to keep obedient to the word that he spoke in my life. How many of us quit moving in the direction of his instruction before the miracle was completed in our lives? We get frustrated because it doesn't happen fast enough. We're the people that get upset if our cheeseburger order is not ready in 60 seconds. Why do you want a cheeseburger that was cooked in 60 seconds? Some things take time. Things that really matter, things that are going to nourish you, things that are important, take time. We got this instant gratification. What if I can't be perfect overnight? If I can't know immediately, no. No, he is a God of order, a God of process, a God of steps. And some things you are just not going to rush him to do. It was as they walked in obedience to Jesus' command that they were healed. So I ask you on this Sunday morning, where are you headed? Are you walking toward the things of God? Are you walking in obedience? Are you following the word that God gave for your life? Are you moving in his direction? Or are you pausing, stutter-stepping, one step forward and two steps back? What are you doing with the word that God gave you? I want to challenge someone this morning. Don't get stuck on the way. Too many people get stuck on the way. Keep going. And here it is. This is where I need to get this morning. All of that other was introduction. Let me get where I need to go. Verse 15, the Bible said, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. I want to talk to this man because I want to know what the evidence was. I want to know how he knew that he was healed. I don't know if the sore stopped oozing. I don't know if the throbbing pain subsided. I don't know what it was that caused him to realize or recognize that he was no longer sick, or that he was no longer in the same condition. But the Bible said that when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. Someone say he turned back. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Hear me. There was a man, one of these 10 lepers. I already set the scene. I already described the pain, the suffering, the anguish that they are living in. But when he saw that he was healed, the Bible said that he turned back. He turned back for thanksgiving. That's what I'm preaching this morning. I've got to take time to turn back and say, Lord, I owe you some thanks. I owe you some praise. I owe you some gratitude for how good you have been in my life. Touch somebody beside you and tell them it's time to turn back. He turned back. Who is this man? Why does he turn around? It's like someone said to me last week after Sunday's message. They said, I don't know what got into me. This is their words to me. I don't know what got into me, but I've got so much good happening in my life. And I didn't realize that for all the good I have happening in my life, someone that was in the building last week, all the good I have happening in my life, that I have not been thankful for what God has done. It's too easy to fall into the trap of wanting more and not realizing that I have enough for where I am right now. When he saw, that means when he realized, when he became aware that he was healed. When he saw, when he realized, when he became aware that more good was happening in his life than bad. That there was more up than there was down. That there was more positive than there was negative. Are you hearing me today? It's never too late for thanks. I just need to turn back for thanksgiving. I just need to turn back. I just need to slow down for just a moment and realize. Because I believe that a grateful heart will make the most difference in my life right now. Just being thankful. You say, Pastor Darrell, that I wish it were that easy. I wish we would stop making it so hard. A grateful heart will make the most difference in my life right now. An attitude of thanksgiving. I think about these 10 men. This guy, I mean, they're already on the way to the priest, you know, but well, you turn back if you want. We're going where he told us to go. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were being obedient to what Jesus told them to do. No problem with that. No issue. I'm not here to throw off on them or preach against them. They were being obedient to the word of the Lord. And you know this man had some place to be. You're supposed to be at the priest's house, and then I'm going to my house. getting back to my wife. I'm getting back to my kids. I'm getting back to my job. I'm getting back to normalcy. He's got somewhere to be. Still, he took the time to say thanks. Now, you're probably not going to like this, but the Bible said he did it with a loud voice, too. There was no shame. There was no embarrassment. There was no worry about what anyone was going to think about him. He hollered it with a loud voice. Some of us deserve, need to realize that God deserves our very best praise. Wait a minute, Pastor Derek, you just trying to hype us up. You caught me. You just trying to get us loud. Guilty as charged. We ought not be ashamed of how good God has been to us. Verse 17, let me get there. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. It's almost as though Jesus seems bothered by people who are not thankful. Where are they? I mean, tell the truth. Tell the truth. It's just you and me. You know good and well that no one can stand a brat who isn't grateful. Universally, we all feel that, let's just see if he doesn't have that, how he acts. No one likes that. So I refuse to be spiritually spoiled. Thanksgiving can fix that. Allowing my heart to be filled with gratitude. So verse 19, he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, the effects of leprosy were that large parts of them had been taken from their lives, their limbs. Some of them walked with a limp and would walk with a limp for the rest of their lives. Some of them would struggle for the rest of their lives. The leprosy may not progress, it may not advance. It may not continue eating their flesh, but whatever had been eaten, that was the scar that they would live with. That was the handicap or the disability that they would suffer for the rest of their lives. But Jesus tells this man who turns back for thanksgiving, he said, look, there's something else going to happen in your life. Your faith has made you whole. I almost called this message Beyond Thankful. Maybe I'll call it when I preach it next year. I'll call it that. Y'all won't even know. There is something beyond thankful. Jesus says there is something beyond the miracle. There is something beyond the healing. There is wholeness for your life. Greek word for whole is this sozo. It means complete. It means healed. That's what Jesus said. I am going to make you complete. So if you were missing this hand, look down again. Hand is, I'm whole. What happened? He did a miracle in my life. And now I am whole. I was missing a limb yesterday. I was forced to walk with a limp before. But I'm beyond thankful. I'm whole. Hear me today. God can fix you to the point that you don't even look like what you've been through. What have you been through? What have you dealt with? What have you suffered? Acknowledge it. Deal with it. Own it. What didn't kill you? What didn't get the best of you? What didn't take you out? You're still here. The disease may be raging in your body right now, but you're still here. You may have uncertainty everywhere you look in your life, but you're still here. You may be sitting hearing me speak right now, hoping I'll hurry because the addiction in you is just shaking. But you're still here. The mental war, the mental anguish, the deficiency, the depression, but you're still here. Can I obey God today? I rebuke the spirit of suicide. I bind it. I chain it. I cast it from this place. In the name of Jesus. Depression. You have to loose your grip. Because we're still here. Ah! Huh. Beyond thankful. Whole. Turn back. Thanksgiving. Would you stand with me across the room today? I'm going to ask no one, head for the doors. Just allow this moment to be miraculous for someone.